In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
So if any of you know the appropriate greeting for Theophany, let me know after the service, because I've heard variations. Girl, Christ is baptized, glorifying me, something like that. But that word baptism, baptized, comes up a lot in the Christian tradition, right? I mean, we're all pretty familiar with it, I hope. But it's not a unique thing to Christianity. Believe it or not, there are many, many cultures that would go through some type of ritualistic cleansing. They would go and they'd be baptized. Native Americans, the Hindus, Muslims. I mean, it's a very ancient tradition, this idea that you would have to go through a ritualized purification where you're submerged in water, or you go up to the waters and you wash yourself and you be made clean. And this idea, the idea behind these rituals was to purify you, to make you ready to encounter the deity, to make you ready. To wash away all those things would be a barrier for you to meet them in their fullness, so that you wouldn't be like the high priest that would go to the high place once a year and die because he wasn't ready. And baptism, this ritual that we follow, that we observe today in our own temple, is the de facto ritual by which one becomes a Christian. You know, some people will say, well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I accepted him into my heart, and I'm a Christian now. It's like, well, you know, the demons believe and they tremble. Believing that Jesus is Lord does not make you a Christian. It could make you a demon, you know. But being baptized, on the other hand, that word, that ritual, that is the initiation into the Christian faith. And we know that John the Forerunner came baptizing for the remission of sins or the cleansing of sins. Again, there was this ritualistic bathing that was happening. And this baptism helped cleanse a person so they were able to stand in the presence of God again. And as we talked about the other day, you know, you heard about these people that have to go and get cleansed. The lepers had to go wash themselves, go wash yourself, show yourself to the priest so you can go back in the temple. So then why did Christ go there? He's perfect. He didn't have to worry about being cleansed to go into the presence of God, because he is God. And so to understand what was happening in the baptismal waters, especially Mark, if any of y'all here aren't familiar with the Gospels, start with Mark. Probably one of my favorite, followed very closely by John, and then the rest, Matthew and Luke. He starts out, thus begins the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There one came, you know, in the wilderness, you know. So Christ came not to be cleansed, but to clean. We know that where Christ goes, if he goes and touches a dead woman, he isn't made unclean, she comes alive. If a woman with a flow of blood touches Christ, he isn't unclean, she stops bleeding. If he comes and touches a leper, he doesn't get leprosy, they get cleansed. And so he is baptized in the River Jordan. He, through all these examples we heard at the service last night in the Old Testament, he goes into the waters and cleanses them and prepares them as a means by which we can partake in the one of the most important things that ever happened in the history of humanity. So that by being submerged in these waters, we can be partake in his death and his resurrection. Make no mistake that Theophany is all about Pascha. Nativity is all about Pascha. Transfiguration is all about Pascha. Everything in the church here is all about Pascha. It's in that moment where he went into the baptism, into the waters of the Jordan, and came out, that John the Forerunner, and it was John who saw it and heard the voice of the Father and saw the Spirit. Says so. Go read the Gospels. He saw that, and in his vision, he saw why Christ was there on earth. He was there not just to make us good little boys and girls that are nice and pristine and clean and have white picket fences and our cars are perfectly polished and our taxes are perfect and our marriages are perfect. He did not come to do all that. He didn't come to cleanse us. He came to remake us. And that happens in the grave. That remaking of the human person happens at Pascha, and all of us will get to rise with Christ again. And that vision of the Spirit descending like a dove onto the Son, and the voice of him say, "Behold my Son, in whom I am well pleased, listen to him." That is a foreshadowing of his resurrection. Because God does not call us to be submerged or baptized. The word baptized, right, literally just means to be submerged. He does not call us to be submerged in water. Instead, he comes baptizing with the Holy Spirit, and he says, and we have to think of Noah. We have to think of Noah, where he says, I will not come and destroy the world by water, but I will come and destroy it by fire. And it's the fire of the Holy Spirit that we are baptized in. We are submerged in the fire of the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the fires of the Holy Spirit. And this does not come, you know, it does not come, it does, we see in the hymnody, the Holy Spirit enable us, you know, well, the pardon of resurrection, enable us to praise you with purity of hearts. But that is not the intent. The intent of us being baptized by the Holy Spirit is to be made new. It's not enough to go wash that old car. Christ tears it down and rebuilds it brand new, sinless, perfect, and incorrupt. That Spirit is here today with us. And Luke, wherever you're at, I don't. There you are. You've got the Holy Spirit today. Let it make you new. Let the Holy Spirit dwell in each one of us to regenerate us, to recreate us into new creatures, to be like Christ. And we say, as many as have been baptized in Christ and put on Christ, what we're saying is we put on the resurrected Christ, eternal Christ, the living Christ, the Christ who can do miracles, who can change all things. But I will caution you, this all sounds great. Like, yeah, Holy Spirit. Let's get the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you one thing about the Holy Spirit that we all need to think long and hard about. It's not like us. Holy Spirit's not like me. And he's definitely not like the demons. You know, the Holy Spirit comes along and you invite him into your life. You make a commitment to him and he lives inside of you. But when you say, you know what? I don't want you around anymore. He'll do something that the demons don't do. He'll leave. You notice the demons don't leave when you ask them to. They're ornery. You know, they require a lot of persistence. Leave me alone your whole life. But if you live a life that is unworthy for the Holy Spirit, he will leave you. If you don't believe me, listen to Psalm 50. Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from the presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Because the Holy Spirit is humble, unlike me. And if you don't want him around, he will leave. And so even though everyone here has been given a divine and holy and eternal calling to be made brand new in eternal life, in immortal bodies, free from sin and death, we also must take it seriously. We are called to make our lives holy places. Scary now. It's like, that was great before. Now you said that, Father Peter. Now it's scary. Okay, you can wrap it up now. There is always hope, my friends, because as long as we commit our lives to Christ our God and to living a life worthy of the presence of the Holy Spirit, he will stay with us. And if we repent, he will return. Because he's faithful. Again, unlike me. He's faithful. And so today we decide to make our lives a welcome place for the Holy Spirit. We choose to love one another. How do we do that? How do we make our lives a welcome place to the Holy Spirit? In last week's bulletin, I quoted St. James in his book where he says, pure and undefiled religion before God is this, to take care of the widows and the orphans and to remain unstained by the world. Remain unstained by the world. Don't live a worldly life. Live a Christian life. Be different. You know, don't do like Steve Jobs, think different. Be different. Exist differently than the world. Change who you are inside of you and let yourself be remade so you are no longer part of this dead and dying world, this corrupt, bankrupt, sinking, rotting, stinking world, but instead you are part of the kingdom of God. Choose to love one another, to forgive, to put aside all unclean and filthy things. And instead of grabbing onto those things that kill us, we cling to Christ who saves us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And this is an intentional act that we follow every day of our lives. This is not a one and done. You don't just sit down and see some magical incantation and suddenly you're on Team Jesus anymore. And you got a t-shirt, you get a mug. Don't worry, you're going to heaven. You're good. Go sin. No, we have to repent every day. Every day we are being saved. Every day we are being made new. We are being regenerated. We are being recreated by He who created all things. Choose to love one another, to give for one another, to forgive, to lay aside all filthy and unclean things and create a habitation for the Holy Spirit to live inside of you and to change you. Choose intentionally every moment of your lives to live with, for, and towards Christ. We live with Him, we live for Him, and we live towards Him. He is our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end. And through us, every moment of our lives, everyone we meet, as we are transformed, hopefully by God's grace, they will encounter the fire of the Holy Spirit, and perhaps they too will be consumed by it. This is a high calling, my friends. I don't want to be a good boy or girl. I want to be a burning fire. I want people to look at me and see Christ and to be drawn to Him. We talked about this too, and I'll try to wrap this up. I have a timer here, by the way, so I stay on track. Sorry. Christ says this thing. He says, let your light so shine in the world so that people might see your deeds and glorify your fathers in heaven. And it's your fire that's shining. Well, whose fire is that? Well, it's God's fire. No, it's not. He said, it's yours. Let your light shine in the world. Become that fire today by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Take up the mantle of your divine calling, your high calling, to become a new creature in Christ. And in the words of St. Seraphim Sarov, and I'll end with this, acquire a spirit of peace so that thousands around you might be saved. May God help us in this divine calling. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.